Well, guess what? New music for Stock Car Radio today. I'm Alan Taylor with Stephen Cole Smith. I guess I got tired of the old stuff. All good. Part of the School of Hot Rod Car Talk. Couple of hours.
That's what's been wrong with the show all
these
years.
The music was weird.
That's the problem. Yeah, that'll fix the show. It's not you and me. It's the music. It's like, you know, the team is 2 wins and 80 losses, so they fire the coach. Yeah, it's not the players. It's right. The music. So, yeah, we're better now.
Well, thank you. So our show is brought to you in part by Motorsport.com. Stephen Cole Smith is the editor-in-chief. And, of course, it's more than just stock car, but that's where we'll start out. And how about a little fight between Marcus Ambrose and Casey Mears?
Man, what do they say about hockey? I went to a fight and a hockey game broke out. That's kind of what happened at Richmond. I mean, there was, I don't know if I've seen that many annoyed people. And, of course, at the end of the race, you know, there's so much annoyance going on between the Kenseth and Keselowski and all those. And we thought, man, that's pretty exciting. And the next thing you know, there's a camera mounted some distance away, but it's focusing in on the garage. And there's Marcus Ambrose and Casey Mears, who had been fighting it out for like 19th place. So who paid attention to that? And they're pushing each other, and then Marcus, you know, throws, I believe it was a right, and gets Casey in the eye, and then Casey goes after him, and you know, it's that's all anybody wants to talk about. Jamie McMurray, the number one car, was talking about it on the radio a day or two ago, and he was saying that that's, to him, all anybody wants to talk about. He said he's building a house. He went out there, and all the people came over and said, hey, tell me about the fight. Tell me what you know about it.
Right.
They don't want to know about the race or how he finished. And McMurray was saying he was a little disappointed in NASCAR for fining the two guys, knowing how much publicity they've gotten. I think they did the right thing. I mean, $25,000 is you know, maybe a little more than I was expecting. I said $10,000 to $25,000 was the guess I had with the Motorsport.com guys, who all said, no, they're not going to do anything. Mm. And I think they had to do something. So I think that's about appropriate, I guess, for the fact that it was actually on camera and people saw it at home. But this is the way, well, they'll take the $25,000 check in one hand and shake his hand and pat him on the back with the other hand and say, thanks for getting us on every sportscast that night.
Normally, oh, yeah. I tell you what, obviously, you and me both, we like motorsports and what have you, but this stuff finds you now. The internet knows if you're a fan of motorsports, and it sends you stuff. And
yeah.
I've probably watched the same video already of Casey Mears getting whacked in the, it was kind of like the temple, you know, the eye, kind of like right there in the side of his head.
Yeah.
And he wipes his face off, and he wants to go after him. I think he was kind of, you know, getting clocked like that. He kind of had to gather himself together, but everybody else went, oh, no. But if you look closely, Casey Mears kind of started it, because he kind of shoved Ambrose over a little bit, and Ambrose is like, BS, boom.
Yeah.
And, you know, but hey, I think these guys are passionate about this. Should they be fighting? Like you said, probably not. And, you know, years ago I asked the King, I asked Petty, I go, what's different today? You know, the one thing he went to was exactly this. He said, used to be if somebody, you know, did something you didn't like, you took them out behind the hauler and you got into a nice little fight. He goes, today, you can't do that. He goes, you duke it out. He goes, and cameras are everywhere. Phones are everywhere. And I don't know that that's a bad thing, truthfully.
Yeah, Buddy Baker was saying the same thing the other night on the radio, that, you know, there was a time when it was unusual when there wasn't some kind of a physical altercation after a race where it's done in the back and there are no cameras, there's nobody around, it's just you and the other driver and maybe a crew member or two. But now, man, with Twitter and, you know, the whole garage area and the victory lane just covered with reporters, and by reporters, I mean anybody that has a blog or anybody that has access to a cell phone and a tweet. I mean, nothing happens that you don't know about in NASCAR. And, you know, like we were saying, 30 years ago, this wouldn't have, not only would it not be headline news, it wouldn't even be mentioned in the race report. But now, you know, thank goodness for this incident for the NASCAR radio guys on Sirius, because it gives them something to talk about all week long. And it wasn't like Richmond was that boring. I mean, Richmond was a darn good race. You know, Keselowski and Kenseth get into it. Keselowski knocks Kenseth out of the way so Keselowski's teammate Joey Logano can win. I mean, that was a little bit suspect to me. It's talking about helping your teammate out. I mean, that's kind of the maximum of the way you do it. And, of course, Jeff Gordon gets kind of stuck in the middle. So it was a great race. And then, you know, and then we're going to Talladega, which is almost too bad because you got so many guys mad that if we were going to another short track like a Martinsville, it would be bloody. But Talladega is not a place to try to settle a score. you know, one little bump there and you're going upside down at 200 miles an hour. So hopefully everybody will play nice in this race this Sunday at Talladega.
All right, hang tight. Our new music, by the way, it's called Sound the Alarm by Thievery Corporation.
Okay? It's appropriate.
It is, it is. So also today at the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Erica Enders Stevens. And Steve wrote a great story at motorsport.com. And so stay with us. She is, of course, a pro stock NHRA driver. It is, it's the, I was going to say School of Hot Rod, but that's part of the block we do. This is Stock Car Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Stephen Cole Smith will be right back. Introducing the Craftsman Bolt-On Reciprocating Saw. This saw attachment comes with a 6-inch general-purpose blade and delivers enough power to cut through a variety of materials like drywall, PVC, and even small tree branches. The reciprocating saw attachment transforms the bolt-on base into a portable and versatile cutting beast. Tool-free blade changes make switching out accessory blades easier than ever. Construct your Craftsman Bolt-On system today. Craftsman, made to make. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears, Sears.com, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. All right, welcome back. It is Stock Car Radio. I'm Alan Taylor with Stephen Cole Smith. Our show brought to you in part by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand, made to make. Stephen Cole Smith talking a little NASCAR, and I have to admit, there's an evil side of me that enjoyed watching that fight between Ambrose and Mears. Does that make me bad?
Yeah, it sure gave a little attention to the back of the field because, you know, we knew what was happening up front, but apparently I don't know what the incident was exactly that caused it, but apparently this is something that's been going on for a couple of races between these two guys. You know, Marcus and Casey are not somebody that typically runs up front. You know, they're back there fighting for 20th as hard as the guys up front are fighting for first. So you kind of forget that the guys in the back are passionate, too, about what they're running against. They're just thinking maybe it's going to be the top five guys that are going to have some emotions, and the guys in the back are just driving around. But I think that kind of proved that from first to last, there's a lot of pent-up feelings back there at the end of a race about people who have not gotten along or not played nice during the competition.
What about the chase? What's going on with that? I've heard a lot of talk about that lately.
Well, we're 9 races in. Talladega will be the 10th. And, you know, the two guys leading the points, Jeff Gordon and Matt Kenseth, how many wins do they have? 0. They got no wins at all this year so far. Oh, wait a minute. Does Kenseth have a win? No, he doesn't. He's got no wins. Carl Edwards in third, he's got one. And the new chase format, you know, rewards victories. If you've got one win, you're probably in the chase. If you've got two, you're probably in the chase for sure. Kevin Harvick has two, but he's back in 20th in points. And then our victor in Richmond, Joey Logano, he's got two. Who would have thought Joey Logano would have two wins at this point? And Jeff Gordon and Matt Kenseth and Jimmy Johnson and Ryan Newman and Brian Vickers, Greg Biffle, Tony Stewart, all those guys, no wins. So, you know, it's not worth sounding an alarm for Jimmy Johnson yet. He's doing well, and you know he's going to get a couple of wins between now and the chase. But right now, back in 8th place, not looking as dominant as he has in the last few years, that's for sure.
Do you think he really cares at this point?
I think he does. I think that you could see the pressure just fall off Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick when they got that second victory, because that means if they just show up for the rest of the races and try, they're in the chase. There is no guarantee that if you don't have at least one win, you're even going to make the chase. You're going to have to be really high in the points. It depends on how many winners there are over the year. Usually there's maybe 15 or 16 different winners. Could we have 17 or 18 different winners? We could. Could we have 10 different winners? Yeah, we could have that too. So right now the pressure is on to get a victory, which is one reason I think you saw them racing so hard at the end of Richmond. Nobody's going to sit back and think, okay, I'm second, I'm third, it's a good points day. No, you've got to go for the victory if it's going to make a difference. And that's one of the changes I really like that NASCAR has made this year. I don't know about you, but I don't go to a race to see who does well in points. I go to a race to see who gets to the checkered flag first.
Hell, I'm going now for fights.
I know, yeah, and fighting after. A good race and then a good solid fight after as the undercard, I think that's a little bit of... And Talladega is a place we can see that happen because, you know, with drafting, you get lost out there if you lose the draft. Maybe your teammate has let you down, and there's always some emotions after Talladega, especially after the big one. And I put that in capital letters because that's the way they kind of say it on television is if you have one car get out of shape at Talladega, half the time it will collect, you know, a third of the field. So everybody sits around in Daytona and Talladega waiting on the big one. So I imagine Sunday that's what we'll be doing in front of TV. Wait for the big one and maybe wait for the fight that comes afterwards.
There you go. Hey, what's your favorite track?
NASCAR track?
Yeah.
I like the road courses personally, but there's something about Talladega. I've been there a lot. I've tested there a lot. I've probably got 150 laps around it. I like where it is out in the middle of nowhere. It's got a really bizarre museum. That's my favorite racing museum. It's got absolutely no theme to it whatsoever. There's everything from airplanes to motorcycles to dirt cars in it. I like the people there. I like the atmosphere. It may not always be the closest race. I'm a short track guy. You know, I like maybe little tracks like Eldora best of all. But for a NASCAR track, if you've never been to Talladega, it should be on your bucket list.
Isn't that interesting? See, now, I like road courses, too. I don't know why. I think I like the fact that they're going left and right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they've got these cars that are like 3,300 pounds, and they got drivers who aren't comfortable there. So I like seeing these guys out of their element.
Right, exactly. That's part of the allure of it for me, is that I want to see what they can do when they're just not turning left all the time. And then, of course, I don't know. There's just something. I think you just said it. It's just that they're not comfortable. And so anyway. But now my favorite track, by the way, I have two. Laguna Seca, of course, now, again, road course.
Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, or our friends at Mazda, like Dean Case, will fine you the next time. They will dig into your wallet if you don't use the Mazda Raceway.
No, I know, but I don't care about that. I don't have to be PC anyway. And then I also love Sears Point, man. And probably because it's kind of more my home turf, you know.
Both anyway. Great tracks, yeah, yep. No question. And of course, Laguna's running this weekend. They've got the sports cars out there.
All right, well, let's talk about some of that and the rest of the world of motorsports. It is Stock Car Radio, brought to you in part by Motorsport.com. We'll be right back.
Bridgestone presents Famous Moments in Bridgestone Tires. Today's episode, The Lullaby.
It was a long ride home. Little Grayson was finally napping after 19 viewings of McDoodle the Strudel-shaped poodle when a rough road ahead sign appeared. A loud, bumpy ride could have stirred little Grayson. Thankfully, his parents have Bridgestone Turanza tires, engineered for quiet, comfortable driving. So Bridgestone not only delivered performance, it kept McDoodle from delivering another.
Bridgestone, your journey, our passion. To learn more about Turanza's smooth, quiet ride, visit BridgestoneTire.com.
You're listening to Stock Car Radio. I'm Alan Taylor with Stephen Cole Smith. We hope you love motorsports the way we do. If you want all the information, you can go to motorsport.com. Stephen Cole Smith is the editor-in-chief along some of the other things he does. That's probably what he's doing right now, writing a story on something involving motorsport. Our show is brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of champions, Brembo Brakes. What were we talking about there before we left?
I think we were mentioning the fact that at Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca, they've got a race this weekend.
That's right.
Today and tomorrow, 200 cars out there. This is normally these guys are often second tier to an IndyCar race, but this week they're running as the headliner. So over the course of 3 days, or from yesterday to Sunday, 9 total races on the 2.2-mile track. So. If you're out there at one of your favorite tracks and one of my favorite tracks, the Monterey Grand Prix powered by Mazda, should be a good place to be this today and Sunday afternoon.
Don't send this to Dean Case, okay?
I probably won't, but we he'll be fine with it as long as we correct it.
He's a friend on Facebook. He would immediately start dogging me out, right? Anyway, that's what happens when you know people that that do these things. And I was just thinking while you're talking, I'm thinking of the days when I went there originally. The first time I was on Laguna Seca, it was 92. And I believe that was right around when they were coming out with a refresh of the Acura NSX.
Yeah.
And I was like freaked out at how fast a car can go around a track that has, you know, twists and turns of you know, ridiculousness. And the car sticks to it. And this was a street car. So I can only imagine, you know, just the pure fun that these guys experience on these wonderful tracks.
Man, I'm a flatlander, you know, being from Tennessee, living in Florida, I like tracks like Sebring that are flat. That's why Laguna Seca, when I drive it, just scares the hell out of me.
It is.
I've got
that's
the corkscrew going downhill, yeah. And I always feel like no matter what a good lap I turn in, I feel like I'm out of control, and then I'm going 10 seconds slower than I probably could have if I wasn't so terrified.
But, Steve, when you go over the what we're calling the corkscrew, everybody for who don't know this, is that there's a turn there that it's completely blind, and all you see is trees, and you think, I'm going to run into the trees. That's yep. right when you have to know what to do. But that's right when you squirt, just a little bit.
Right, yeah. And especially if you're in a race and there's like a car stalled right on the other side of that. And, yeah, maybe there's people waving flags, but you don't know if the guy's right there or if he's 100 feet down. But you got to crest that hill at a pretty good speed or you're going to get run over.
That's right. No,
yeah,
it's fine.
I don't know. But well, anyway, it's an interesting format. They've got today they've got the Continental Sports Car Challenge race, but tomorrow – they've got two races. They're breaking up the four classes in the Tour Championship, which, of course, the Grand Am and the American Le Mans Series combined. That's what we've got with sports car now. They've got a doubleheader consisting of one race with Prototype Challenge in the GT Daytona cars, and the other is the Prototype, the fastest cars, in the GT Le Mans class cars. So there's actually two races going on out at the Mazda Raceway Laguna Seca tomorrow. I think there's also a Lamborghini Super Trofeo Series race today and tomorrow, Porsche GT3 Cup. There's two races for those guys on Sunday. So, man, that's a beautiful track. It's a beautiful place. The weather's almost always good. So, man, I kind of wish I was heading out there.
Yeah, who doesn't want to go to the Monterey Peninsula this time of year? You know what I mean? It's just
absolutely
beautiful. What about is anything in the world going on with F1 that's happening right now?
Yeah, well, like I mentioned, Ayrton Senna's death is over.
It's overriding,
overtaken everything.
Yeah.
The 20th anniversary of that. I mean, and a lot of the stories that come out of that are safety related. Like Roland Ratzenberger, the guy that died before Senna. And of course, Senna died when a piece of his car suspension came back and hit him in the helmet. So, you know, they've now tethered those suspension pieces in the front wheel so they can't come off. But Ratzenberger, the guy that was killed the day before in his only second F1 race, a typical skull fracture, just like Earnhardt had, just like so many other drivers have had. Would he have been saved by a Hans device? He might have. And one of the things that came out of his death and Senna's death is that within a year or two, they were one of the first ones to adopt a head and neck restraint in Formula One. So, you know, just like with Earnhardt's death, there was a lot of safety features that came out of that. So if anything good comes out of the death of a major star like an Ayrton Senna, it's the fact that everybody wants to take a look at safety and see what we can do to keep it from happening again. So you got to think the death of Ratzenberger and Senna and then in 2001 Earnhardt have saved the lives of a lot of other drivers.
No question. And you know, that makes me think what's going on with Schumacher. I don't know. There hasn't been any news that I've seen.
Well,
lately.
The news last week was that he woke up and recognized his wife. And then within 20 minutes, that turned out to be a hoax. And I don't know who does stuff like
See?
That.
Oh,
it's sad. You know, and again, a guy who's gone through all the stuff he's gone through in a low-speed skiing accident where he hits his head with a helmet on a rock. Pretty much ends his life as he knows it. So,
yeah.
You know, miracles still happen, you know, and that's, well, the fact that you and I are still around and on the radio, I think certainly qualifies as one of them.
Exactly.
So let's hope for the Michael Schumacher family. They have one, too.
No doubt about it. I think at the end of the day, if God wants you or wants to teach you a lesson, he's going to do it however he needs to.
He teaches me a little lesson every day, and I think I know all the lessons now. I wish he'd stop.
Exactly. Enough! Oh, goodness. All right. When we come back, we're going to have Erica Enders, and she's part of this story that Steve wrote at motorsport.com. NASCAR and other major series could learn a lot about diversity from the NHRA. Of course, the drag racing series is one win away from the 100th pro victory by a female driver, and Erica Enders, you never know, she may be the one. A nice gal, and you guys will find all about that here in just a few minutes when we talk to her. Stay with us, and don't forget, go to motorsport.com, where you can find out everything about motorsports. They've been around for just absolutely ever. Now Steve is the editor-in-chief there at motorsport.com. And of course, our show is brought to you in part by Craftsman, America's most trusted tool brand, made to make, Craftsman Tools. A big thanks to you, Steve, for being here with us today. We'll take a little break and come back with Erica Enders. It is Stock Car Radio, your source for all things motorsport. Stay with us. Let's say you want to make a DIY repair on your vehicle. Where do you go? Where do you turn for advice? Alan Taylor here. If you're considering free online repair advice, you might want to consider the source. Instead of putting your vehicle at risk, rely on accurate, complete guidance from start to finish with the experts at Haynes. Every Haynes manual is based on a complete teardown and rebuild of the vehicle. They learn the best ways to do the job and make it easier and cheaper for you. Available at most auto part retailers or at Haynes.com. Welcome back. It is Stock Car Radio. I'm Alan Taylor with Stephen Cole Smith. And, of course, the name is Stock Car, but we talk about everything in motorsports, and Steve is the editor-in-chief of Motorsport.com. A story he wrote about Erica Enders Stevens. It came out Monday of this last week here. And I had a chance to interview Erica at SEMA a couple of years ago. She had gotten an awesome award from GM. It was the 100th anniversary of Chevrolet, and I was on the stage, and here comes this gorgeous gal, and she's got laryngitis. And
no voice.
And it was like, okay, at least that was video, right? So they could see you talking. Now I didn't know what you sounded like, so it's good to hear your voice.
See, I told you I didn't sound like a man.
No, you didn't look like one either, by the way. And congratulations. Okay. Since then, you have gotten married. You were wearing a big old fat diamond ring. I made fun saying your husband, your future husband, must work on Wall Street because that was a big old fatty. And and you said, no, he's a racer just like me. I was like, wow, he must be doing good.
Anyway, but, he was, yeah.
Well, so, Steve, why don't you jump in because your story is fresh at motorsport.com.
Yeah, I mentioned in there that Eric and I had lunch together with our friend Greg Engel and Scott Smith from NHRA about a month ago, and I'll tell you a story that I didn't mention in the column that kind of gives you an idea of what kind of person Erica is. An old man wandered into the restaurant, and he was lost and asking for directions. So, of course, the only person at the table who wasn't from Orlando was the one that offered to help him, and that was Erica. And she said, well, I've got my cell phone here. Maybe we can. And the old man said, well, thanks. And he took your cell phone and walked off. We'd all paid the bill, and we were ready to go. And Erica was too polite to say, listen, I was just going to try to look up your address. I didn't know you were going to, like, take it over in the corner and try to call Alaska with it. But she was too polite to say that. So hopefully the old man finally got to his spot and she finally got her cell phone back. But I thought the fact that she was the one at the table that offered to help him out, I think that tells you a little bit about what kind of person Erica is.
Well, Southern hospitality, and thanks for not losing that. I know you're from Houston, where I was born as well. And you know, and I'm looking here, Steve, by the way, in your story it says you had a chance to drive Pro Stock one time and found it the single hardest and most humbling race car ever.
It was actually a Pro Stock truck, which is basically the same thing. A few years ago, they don't run the trucks anymore, but me and a friend of mine from Motor Trend both got a chance to drive it. Mac Demir, who went on to work for Michelin, is one of their test drivers. Mac is a great driver. He and I are both from Memphis. We're good friends. He's done a lot of racing like I have, and we both said it was the single most humiliating experience we've had behind the wheel of just how hard it was to drive. It was so uncomfortable. The seat was cocked sideways. I ended up blowing the transmission out because they said you're supposed to keep your hand on the shifter, you know, when you shift. And I thought, well, I needed both hands to try to control the damn vehicle. And they said, well, we're sorry, we forgot to tell you that, but it makes the transmission blow up if you don't actually have your hand on the shifter when you do this. And as though you're supposed to drive with one hand and shift with one hand and do something else with one hand. So I don't know anybody can drive those things, but it's, you know, once in a while, and nothing against the people in Top Fuel or Funny Car, but once in a while you'll have somebody drop into those classes, like say Dan Pastorini, the old NHRA quarterback, who was a friend of mine. I was there when he took his first ride in it, and Dan went on to like win a race or two. But you don't do that in Pro Stock. There's such a tiny, tiny margin between the fastest car and the slowest car that if you're, you know, maybe they don't get the publicity that the big fuel-burning Top Fuel guys get, but let me tell you, at the drag strip, the people that know the difference know that the Pro Stock drivers are probably the best drivers on the track out there. And the fact that Erica can get out there and spank some guys who have been doing it for a very long time, that's not the car, that's the driver. So tip of the hat to Erica.
There you go. So,
well, thank you.
Exactly. Now, you read his article at motorsport.com, mm-hmm. and when you read, you know, writers' words about you, Some of them perhaps not so kind. Others, of course, lately, I know obviously the last couple of years of your life have been pretty darn good for you. But what's it like to read about yourself like that? It's curious because I'm looking at this going, wow, this must be kind of cool.
It was interesting. I mean, I really enjoyed the article because I remembered our conversations from lunch that day down in Florida, and I actually read it because one of my friends came across it and posted it on Facebook. So I kind of wish that I was able to read more of what people wrote about us and our team. And, you know, it's always exciting to be, you know, in the news, if you will. But, yeah, I mean, he did a great job, and I love the fact that he gave NHRA Drag Racing such big props. And it's a pretty cool deal. But like you said, there is the negative side to that, and there are some guys out there who voice their opinions who have no idea what they're talking about, which is always interesting, but it's fun nonetheless.
Well, you know, there's the whole controversy right now between Petty and Danica Patrick and that kind of stuff. You know, I guess it's kind of fun in one way to watch the battle going on, you know, like that fight that was going on with Mears. And, you know, but at the end of the day, does it do any good for our sports, you know, to be overly negative about things, whether it's women in racing or whatever? But I think talent shines. Don't you think, Steve? And Erica's talent is shining. You can't say anything other than, wow, she can drive.
Well, I tell you, the story wasn't necessarily about Erica. It was about what she had done and what NHRA has done. She was the 99th victory for a female driver in NHRA pro racing since Shirley Muldowney got the first one in 1976. I mean, 99 victories. That's amazing. The next race up in Atlanta, middle of May, we could very well hit 100 because the Pro Stock motorcycles are there. They don't show up at every race. So we've got a couple of female drivers there. We've got her. We've got some of the Force girls. We've got some other people. Probably six or seven women will show up in Atlanta. So we could easily have 100th victory. And the story really was about the fact that NASCAR is still waiting for one. And it doesn't look like Danica's going to get it. She got it in IndyCar. But, you know, in April of this year, that was 6 years ago. That was the sixth anniversary of Danica's only real win. And I also mentioned, you know, we don't even talk about the fact that guys like Antron Brown, who's black, won also in Houston. And, you know, he was the champion in 2012. And NASCAR is making a big deal when they've got one or two black drivers out there trying to make, you know, a truck race or something. Well, this has been going on in NHRA. You know, Hispanic drivers, I mean, how many Pedregrounds have won in NHRA? It's diversity is, if you want to look at an example of where diversity works, it's NHRA. It's practically every other motorsport is struggling to get where the NHRA has been for decades now.
Right. No, you're right. It says here NASCAR and other major series could learn a lot about diversity from the NHRA. The drag racing series is one win away from 100 pro victories by a female driver. And that is on motorsport.com if you want to go look the story up. It's a great story. And Erica Ender Stevens is right there with her number one, holding her big trophy up. And a nice photo of you, too, by the way. Steve, did you take that photo?
I did not. motorsport.com has an archive of 1.7 million photos. So no matter who your favorite driver is, there's 20 photos of him or her or it there, believe me. So it's not hard to find photos at the website.
So, Erica, are you still having fun?
I am. I'm having so much fun. And this year has been so refreshing to me where, you know, years past were extremely stressful and crazy, but I'm teamed up with such a great group of people, and Richard Freeman, who owns Elite Motorsports and hired me to drive at the end of 2013, has been, you know, a true blessing. He provides us with the tools that we need to be successful, and the guys that he has surrounded me with are just top-notch. They're awesome, and we have a blast together, and that's what's so cool about it, is that racing's fun again, and it's not just because we're having, you know, a little bit of on-track success right now. I mean, I feel like Pro Stock goes in cycles, and just so happens to be our cycle right now, and we're working hard to keep it that way. But my guys are great, and I'm so stoked to be teamed up with such a great team.
Has it changed any since you got married as far as your lifestyle, and is it easier, is it harder? What's it like being married now and still being a professional racer?
It's pretty much the same. I mean, Richie had always come with me in years prior. I mean, we were together 6 years before we got married, so it's not a whole lot changed, but, you know, I'm so thankful for his support and his understanding. I mean, it's not an easy life to be on the road almost 300 days a year and to have somebody who not only who only likes it but understands it as well is really a blessing for me. So we're working on getting him back out in the car and hopefully a team car to me for 10 races this year to help us go out there and fight for that championship.
All right, I got to know this. When you're driving with your husband, does he still say slow down, speed up, turn left? When he, I mean, is he a backseat driver even though you are who you are?
Both of us are horrible backseat drivers, whether I'm driving or he's driving. And I always, like, get frustrated. I'm like, babe, I don't know how I make it without you. And he says, you know, he says the same thing to me, but I'm usually the one telling him to slow down. He drives like a bat out of hell. I drive more like a momo on the street.
NHRA Pro Stock driver Erica Ender-Stevens, congratulations. Keep up the good work. We'll catch up with you again real soon and follow your career along.
Sounds great. Thank you guys so much.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. It is Stock Car Radio. Have you been dreaming about upgrading your car's stereo system, but you don't want an amplifier the size of a suitcase taking up all the space in your car? You need to check out Kenwood, the number one mobile electronics brand in the country. With Kenwood, you can get the power you need and still have plenty of room for that junk in your trunk. Learn more by visiting liveconnecteddriveconnected.com and to find a Kenwood dealer near you. Welcome back. It is Stock Car Radio, our show brought to you in part by Motorsport.com, my friend, the editor-in-chief of that magazine, and our, I should say website. Everything's magazines in my world lately.
I hear you.
Stephen Cole Smith, our show brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone tires. So Erica Enders, what a sweet gal, right?
You know, she's been doing this for a long time. I mean, she's still a kid, but she started when she was a real kid. And if you remember, way back when, she was still like 12 years old, I think, when Disney made a movie about her because she had won the Junior Dragster Championship. And
yeah, it was her and her sister.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's been around for a long time. And the first time I met her was a few years ago. When you, if you remember this, Kurt Busch, you know, who's doing the IndyCar race this year. Well, he was the only NASCAR guy I know of to try Pro Stock, which is, again, you know, tip of the hat to Kurt Busch because he could have tried something easier. And he was driving for Penske right then, I think. And he came to the Gator Nationals and managed to qualify. I think he qualified last in the first round. Erica knocked him off and went on to, I think she was second, I think. But, you know, it was funny. The one thing I asked Kurt Busch about, I said, what are you taking back to NASCAR from your couple of weeks here in NHRA? And he said, just the fan friendliness, the access the people have to the drivers. You know, every ticket is a pit pass. That's what the NHRA advertises, and it's true. And, you know, for a girl like Erica, I mean, think about it. If she wants to play tennis, you know, with the pro tennis, she needs a really good racket. If she wants to go to the LPGA, she needs a really good set of golf clubs. If she wants to do this, she needs a, you know, $250,000 car and sponsorship to go to all these races and a crew of 8 or 10 or 12. So there are years when she has not had that and not been able to race. And like she said, her husband is looking for a ride right now full-time. I mean, it's, you know, in any other sport, you don't have to raise, you know, $1 million-plus to actually enjoy playing. You just go out and play. But
right.
A friend of mine, Alex Job, in sports car racing, he says, every year at the end of the year, my sponsorship is up and I have to apply for a new job. It's like at my age, and he's in his 60s, every year I have to go interview and try to find a new job. And the new job is to find a sponsor that will let him do what he's been doing. It's
tough. And that is such a good point. People really have no idea. I was with John Force when they unveiled the 50th anniversary of the Mustang in Hollywood. And, you know, that was when the news had, you know, the world knew that Ford was pulling out of his sponsorship. And,
yeah, and Castrol's leaving, too.
You know, and, you know, I mean, the guy, honestly, he looked worried. He was smiling, but his smile wasn't a 100% smile. It was a 90% smile because, you know, it's like the guy, you know, he's worried. He's right. You're like what you're saying. He's looking for a job right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got his whole, you know, he's got, and Erica mentioned this too. He says, it's not just me. It's like 20 or 25 people that work with us. So if I'm not working, that means they're probably not working. So it's not just them. It's basically an entire company that's based on whether or not you can find sponsorship, not just one year to another, but one race to another. There's a story that I was put up on Motorsport.com last night about Josh Wise, who drives the number 98 NASCAR Cup car for Phil Parsons. And a 16-year-old kid in Illinois saw that car on TV and thought he was working really hard. He had no sponsorship, so he got involved with Dogecoin and Reddit and started an online campaign to help find sponsorship. And both those two companies got on board, and both of them will be on Josh Wise's car this weekend at Talladega.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about the NHRA Southern Nationals at Atlanta. You're saying you're going to go. It's May 16 through 18, everybody. We're going to take a little break. Erica Enders, man, she is the sweetest, nicest person. And I think you find that a lot in NHRA racing. They have to be interactive with the fans and what have you. And I hope they never change that. We're going to take a break. It is Stock Car Radio, brought to you in part by Motorsport.com. Steve's the editor-in-chief. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Are you stressed, depressed, isolated, or even angry? There's no need to struggle alone in the darkness anymore. Patriot Outreach is an organization lending support to our warriors, veterans, and their families who suffer from the effects of post-war trauma and stress. U.S. Army's Colonel Tony Monaco discovered a very private, simple, non-intrusive tool that's helped him immensely in overcoming extreme adversities, and it can help you too. It's confidential, it's effective, and it's powerful. To learn more, go to patriotoutreach.org and let the healing begin. Welcome back. It is Stock Car Radio, of course, all things motorsport. And, of course, our new friends at Motorsport.com are helping that out. Stephen Cole Smith, he's the editor, editor-in-chief of... explain the world of Motorsport.com real quick so people know, because to me it was a little bit new, and I know you are obviously, you know, you're my source. I just call you up and you answer all my questions. So tell the world about Motorsport.com.
Well, it's I'm pretty new at it, but the site is not new. It's been around, I think, since 1994. It's older than Facebook. It's older than Google. It's older than Craigslist. Which is one reason the archive they have is just incredible. Not only is it big, it's really easy to use. So basically anything that's happened in almost the last 15, 20 years in motorsports is there. This weekend we're blowing out Ayrton Senna's death, 20th anniversary, everybody is. But if you go to motorsport.com, you're going to see a lot of stuff from remembrance of Ayrton Senna and Roland Ratzenberger, who was also killed the day before Senna was, and that was the first fatality in Formula One in 12 years, so even his death was huge news. And then the next day, you know, if you think Earnhardt's death in 2001 was big here in the U.S., globally, imagine that times three or four, that's the way Ayrton Senna was, and that's what we're focusing on right now. But any kind of motorsport, there's no source in the world that covers more motorsports than motorsport.com. So even if you're worried about, I wonder who won the British Touring Car Championship last weekend, it's there. But also NASCAR's there, and also NHRA's there, and all that. So, NHRA, I think right now is a great story because it's a happy story. So many things are going bad now, the anniversary of the death and with the, I know it's funny, but it's kind of sad to have Marcus Ambrose and Casey Mears throwing punches and that to be what we remember from the race at Richmond. But, it's a happy story at NHRA that we're going for the 100th win for a female driver, and I think that's pretty enormous. Of course, more than 40 of those came from Angel Sampi, who used to be Angel Seeling, the pro stock motorcycle driver, who, of course, lost her ride, and even with 40-plus wins, couldn't find a sponsorship. So that just goes to show just how tough it is. But, I'm looking for a good race at Atlanta. I think there's going to be a bunch of people there, a bunch of female drivers who want that 100th victory.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There's a lot of people showing up.
Well, that historical 100, it's like 99, 98, 97. You won't hear about them, but you'll always hear about the 100. The 50 at the 100, all those big marks.
And that's why we got Brittany Force, John Force's daughter, and Leah Pritchett in Top Fuel, Alex DeGioia, and she's interesting. She's won in Funny Car. You know, she is the daughter of Paul Mitchell, who does the Paul Mitchell hair care and Patron Vodka, and her husband is Jesse James, you know, the Sandra Bullock's ex. And Courtney Force, Brittany's sister, is in Funny Car. Eric is in Pro Stock, and in Motorcycle, Angie Smith, Elvira Carlson, and Katie Sullivan. All those women are there, and that's quite a few. So, you know, it's odds are against there being a 100th victor for a female in Atlanta, just because the odds are that there's a lot more men than there is women running. But there's some pretty hot women, and I mean hot performance-wise, that could very easily do this. So one of my friends that works for John Force is pretty confident this could be Courtney Force's first Funny Car win, or maybe Brittany's first win, I think, at Funny Car in Top Fuel. So I guess we're going to see if he's a good prophet or not.
There you go. So NHRA Southern Nationals, Atlanta, May 16 through 18. I have never been out to that track. What's it like?
It's a pretty traditional track. I've actually raced on it a couple of years ago. It's smooth. It's fast. Temperature, of course, anytime, you know, cooler temperatures benefits drag racers, just like it benefits almost anybody in racing, where the tires don't get too hot, and cooler air has more oxygen in it a little bit, so a little more dense, so the cars tend to run a little bit faster. So if it's a nice cool day, I don't know if we'll see any wreckers, but we'll see some really, really fast stuff going on. And there's not that many races in this part of the country, so generally the crowd and the turnout for the racers should be pretty enormous.
Right on. Well, there you go. NHRA at Southern Nationals at Atlanta, May 16 through 18. We'll report on that after it happens, of course. Steve will probably be out there. Steve, thank you, brother, for being with us this week once again. Motorsport.com, everybody. Stephen Cole Smith, Editor-in-Chief. I'm Alan Taylor. We will see you next week right here on Stock Car Radio, your source for all things motorsports. See you next week. Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.